Hello, hello, and welcome to the show. Series 5, Episode 8. I'm your host, Jazz Wilson, and I'm here with my wonderful, lovely co-host, Lucy Wilson.
Hello. I thought you were going to finish that sentence with wife. I'm just not used to you saying co-host.
Oh, co-host, wife, life partner. We had this discussion before, right?
True, sorry.
True, very true. But yes. Partner in many, many ways.
If I just sounded surprised when I said hello, it's because I wasn't. It just took me aback. It's been a while since I've been here.
Been here? What, with me?
No.
Or recording?
With the podcast people.
Oh, I see. Oh, okay. Fair enough. True. Yes, you did have last episode off, but you are back now in full form and we're in full swing, ready to go. That's what happens with life. Life is crazy at the minute and thank you for your patience. We appreciate it.
And also just a reminder to you that life is crazy. So if you have to say no to something, like with things reopening now, you're feeling the pressure to go out, see people, do things. If you're not okay with it and you don't want to do with it, you can say no. Just a reminder.
Good.
Because I bet some people are struggling with the changes that are happening. And if you need a bit of time to do nothing, that is fine. If you need that adjustment time, you take that time. Equally, if you're the opposite, I hope you're having fun. Responsibly.
Of course. Safely. That's a very good point, actually. Do look after yourself. Take a break. Things are getting a bit crazy at the minute with restrictions lifting. In the UK, mind. But yes, just take it easy and be ready for when theatre comes. Just,
I'm so excited.
Prepare yourself for that.
I'm so ready for it.
Me too.
What do you think we'll go and see first?
Ooh. What do I think we see and what I would like to see are two very different things. I would like to see Come From Away.
I would like to see Come From Away. I think that might be a possible one, you know?
But I think we'll see something that tours first.
Yeah. So Come From Away might tour. You never know.
Maybe.
I think we'll see Six, the touring production, first.
Wow.
Just a prediction.
Okay. I'm going to go with Grown Ups, touring production.
Oh, we've seen it. We can't go and see something we've already seen for the first time in like well over a year.
We can. At least I know I won't be disappointed.
That is a very good point. That is a very good point. Okay. Stay tuned. We'll let you know when we book something, of course.
We'll post it on the socials and we'll talk about it on here from what we go and see. What Amdram show do you think we'll see first?
Amdram is very different because it's a bit of a grey area as to when that's allowed to open up and when the actual performance will happen, because obviously the professional productions, I don't like saying professional because it makes it sound like I think amateur productions are unprofessional. I don't. It's just that's what they are. They are obviously doing it as their full-time job, so they are now currently in rehearsals, whereas adults still can't actually do recreational activities indoors just yet. So it's a grey area. I think amateur theatre will come back a little while after non-amateur theatre. So I wouldn't be surprised if it was a panto, maybe.
I can see
things opening up panto season.
Christmas time?
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be nice. If you are doing a production and you would like us to come and watch, we always welcome an invite to go and see a show. So, yeah, please get in touch on any of our socials or itsallanact@outlook.com. You can contact us. Shall we get on with the show?
Let's dive in.
Let's go. Coming up with
Album of the Week.
Bum. Yeah. It is Album of the Week. And let me cast your minds back to many, many moons ago to the album that was my choice. And it was Ragtime. And what an album it is. As Lucy said last time, long.
It's a whopper.
It's a whopper. You heard it here first. I'm putting that as a review. Lucy said, Ragtime the musical, it is a whopper.
It really is. Are you happy for me to dive in?
Go on. Tell me your thoughts about it.
I actually was expecting to find it a bit of a drag. However, I want to listen to it more. I want to go see the show. I want to see amateur theatre societies doing this production. It sounds like an awesome show, listening to the album, to both be in, so be a part of. So we've done loads of shows. We know that the show that you're doing makes the kind of atmosphere and rehearsals and everything, because depending on what type of show it is, depends how you rehearse. And it sounds like a great laugh to be in. Lots of big dance numbers, but at the same time, lots of, you know, emotional highs and lows. It just sounds wonderful to be a part of, but also sounds like something very interesting to watch because it's very deeply rooted in history. And I think there are lessons in the show that people are still learning now, you know, with different races, backgrounds, migrants and everything. So I'm going to go out there and say, if anybody puts on Ragtime as a show, professional or amateur, I'm going to go see it.
Wow.
As long as I don't have to drive like 9 hours to get there. But no, I'm intrigued. I'm very intrigued. I loved all of the dancey numbers. You can hear as you listen through the album, there are some songs that sound like they are the big dance numbers. An example of one is The Crime of the Century. So any song that sounded a bit like that, that was my favourite parts of the album. I'm not going to say a singular favourite song because I can, you know, when you listen to a song and you can just imagine the routine in your head. I don't know if you ever get that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I loved it. I'm going to go quite bold. I'm going to say 4.5 mics.
Wowzers. I know. Trousers.
I did love it.
Good. That's what we like. And I'm surprised because usually my choices are something obscure most of the time. I try and pick something that's not your regular, not your Lame Is, not your Wicked, like something that either people haven't heard before at all or haven't heard for a long, long time, because this is an older show.
Absolutely. And the reason this is obscure this time is because it has faded away and into the background a bit and kind of been a little bit forgotten about, I would say. But it shouldn't be. It sounds like a wonderful show. So let's bring it back. Make it current again.
So the reason I chose this show was because it is talking about America and talking about race. I had a funny feeling that it may come back because of everything happening in America at the minute. I was like, it would be the perfect time, the perfect opportunity for a production company to revive this show.
And also the perfect thing to do in schools. Because exactly. They're not just putting on a production that way. They are learning about the history and what we need to go do going forwards. It's a very good pick from you. I'm very pleased.
Thank you.
It gave me kind of vibes from loads of different musicals. I don't know if you found that.
I quite often get that when I listen to something. So this one kind of gave me Chorus Line, 42nd Street.
Yeah, exactly.
A little bit of Aladdin in there, actually.
I also heard a bit of Chitty Chitty Bang Bang.
Oh, nice.
And the other one, which I know wouldn't have influenced this musical, but maybe Ragtime the Musical did influence this film soundtrack, was Princess and the Frog.
Well, I can see how that would correlate.
Actually, I wouldn't be surprised if Disney did listen to Ragtime and use it because they do explore some similar themes, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, true. Especially in Princess and the Frog.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah, very cool. My favourite song is Getting Ready Rag.
Ooh.
It's a very, very upbeat. I usually pick an upbeat song because that's just what I like. And I would give it a 3.5. Solid. Not something that I would listen to all the time, but something I may delve into and take a few shows and put them into a separate musical playlist. So
take a few songs from that show to put into a playlist.
Yeah. And just have it mixed in every now and again just to add something different.
You know, variety shows that sometimes amateur companies do.
Yeah.
A song from here would be perfect for that.
True.
It would be ideal.
Very true.
Especially if you wanted something that could just be a big dance number. Brilliant. I actually love it.
Very good.
It might be one of my favourites I've ever listened to for Album of the Week.
Really?
Mm. one of my favorites.
Okay, so next episode, we will go through all of the shows that we've listened to for Album of the Week, and we'll see. We'll see if that's... Okay.
If it's I reckon it'll be in the top 10. Not as in it's my favorite album, but for the listen of Album of the Week, it's been one that I have liked more than I expected to, if that makes sense. So, for example, when I picked, I now can't remember anything I picked, but say, for example, I don't know if I did pick this, but, oh, no, so last Album of the Week, I picked the Les Mis concert recording. I expected to like that because I like Les Mis. So that would actually be lower than Ragtime for me because the experience and the expectation has outweighed the Les Mis. I see. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes sense. Fair enough. In the top 10 for me, maybe. It might just scrape in the top 10. But I see what you're saying on, because we listen to it on just an audio format without any preconceived visualization, it makes it very, very different. Mm-hmm. And I enjoy that concept of it, just having it in one sense, I suppose.
Whereas when we've listened to albums that we may have already heard bits of or actually seen the show, or there's a film version that we've seen, I think that's not as special to me then. Whereas this is a special listen.
Oh, good. Very good.
Yeah.
Talking of special listens, what is going to be your choice that we are going to specially listen to?
So the special listen this week, this is going to get old. If it's going to have the special feel, actually, and you will see why when I tell you what the album is. So the album I have picked is The Bodyguard, the musical.
Oh.
The version I have got here is the world premiere cast recording, and it is from 1915. No, it's not.
Wow. They recorded it a long time ago.
And it's from 2015. And the cover is like a dark blue colour with... Alexandra Burke, actually.
It is Alexandra Burke.
On this cover. And lots of press behind her. Paparazzi. So, yeah, this might not give the special, and I say that in inverted commas, feeling, because we are going to know some of the songs, because obviously they are very famous songs, but they are done in the musical format. Have you seen The Bodyguard, Jazz?
I have not. I haven't even seen The Bodyguard film. My mum loves the film. I've never seen the film, never seen the show, never heard the album. I may have heard one of the songs, but not realizing that's what it's from.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's it. I know it's Whitney Houston songs, and that's it. So I know Whitney Houston songs, so I've probably heard some of them, but not in this format.
Yeah. Same as me.
I'm excited.
I think I've seen bits of the film, but I haven't seen it in its entirety. So yeah, this should be good.
Cool. I'm looking forward to this, actually. Something different. I like your choice. Good choice.
Thank you.
If you want to listen along with us, you can. Lucy described the album cover on Spotify. And you can let us know what you think. And we'll read out your review on the show. It's all an act at outlook.com. Or you can contact us on our socials. The Bodyguard, the musical, world premiere cast recording.
Ba-da. Album of the week.
Ba-ba-bum. Yeah. That was Album of the Week. And as we usually do, as we are in the studio, we hand over to Tom in his studio, giving us his movie musical review section. Take away, Tom.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the movie musical segment. Is that right? Movie musical? I always get it wrong. Movie musicals segment. And I struggle to say it. Welcome back to MMS. I can't even spell it. I'm sorry. This week, we are talking about Shrek the Musical. It recently came onto Netflix. So, yeah, if you want to check it out, then by all means, have a look on Netflix right now. It's one of these musicals that feels like it could have been terrible. It feels like it could have been something really cheap and tacky, and I'm not going to lie, there are a lot of mixed thoughts about Shrek that kind of are floating around, but maybe I'm here to, I mean, form your own opinion, but maybe I'm here to give you a bit of a nudge. Yeah. So I'm just going to be straight up. I love Shrek the Musical. I think it's a fantastic show. There's some wonderful characters in it and a really good script and some really great songs as well, actually. We're going to cover all this, but just, yeah, I remember thinking I'd seen the recorded version and I thought the tour was going to be terrible, but I really enjoyed it. So yeah, let's just talk about, let's just break down some stuff to start with. So I want to talk about the main cast to start with. So Brian D'Arcy James, Sutton Foster, Christopher Sieber, Daniel, I think his name's Breaker. They are kind of the four principals. And oh my God, they're so good. They're so good. So funny. They've put their own spin on it. I mean, Brian D'Arcy James's accent is not fantastic, but it doesn't really matter, you know? And yeah, I think they do a good enough job with the acting and everything else to not leave you focusing on the accent, which is cool. Sutton Foster as Princess Fiona, fantastic, perfect casting. If anyone was going to get a recorded version of that character, I'm glad it was Sutton Foster. You've got Daniel Breaker. I'm sorry if I'm saying his name wrong. I can never remember which one it is. As Donkey, who's fantastic. He's like this really... I think Donkey's one that's quite hard to do because, I don't know, I think it would be difficult to keep the energy up and he does a fantastic job of it. So hats off to him. And then my personal favourite, Christopher Sieber, who plays Lord Farquaad. Now, if you haven't seen the show, but you have seen the film, you will know that Lord Farquaad is very short character. But the way they get around doing it in the show is that they have the character on his knees for the whole performance. And then there's a cape that runs, you know, from around his neck to his feet. So it looks like he's super short. And they do some really great choreography with it as well at some point. In his introduction song, actually, they do a fantastic job with kind of like just acknowledging the fact that that they're fake legs. They do it quite a lot throughout. There's a couple of sort of visual gags around it. But I think for me, Christopher Sieber and Sutton Foster really steal the show. There's some really great songs in it, like the I Know It's Today, which is Princess Fiona's introduction song, which is sung with three different versions of her, a young version, a sort of teenage version, and an adult version. It's a really cool way, I think, to... It's hard to describe. I think it's cool to see a character do a duet with himself, basically. It's yeah. And it gives you a sense of kind of time of how long she's been waiting. Yeah. Anyway, let's talk about the costumes, because the costumes are phenomenal. So they do a really great job of keeping the costumes the same as the movie, but obviously adapting them for the stage. So they're maybe not exactly the same costumes, but they're recognizable. I mean, Shrek is pretty much exactly the same, I think, and so is Fiona. But they've taken some small creative liberties. One thing I love is that Donkey has hooves for hands, so there's no like hand gestures or anything. Which is a challenge, I think, an acting challenge. So, I mean, yeah, I think that's something cool. There's a great puppet that for Gingy, the gingerbread man, and just the costume that the ensemble have, amazing. If there is any show you want to be in the ensemble for, it's Shrek the Musical. It's fantastic. You get to play a fairy tale character. You get to play a guard from Duloc. You get to play one of the Duloc citizen dancers things. Yeah, it's so cool. The ensemble must have so much fun with it. And I think it would be really cool to see who you were going to get as well, because there's so many fairy tale characters, but they all have so much detail in their characters. And they have a great song, you know, Freak Flag. That's what I was going to say. Freak Flag and Story of My Life, which are a really great couple of sort of ensemble numbers. The ensemble is so strong for this show is what I'm saying, basically. Well done to them. One character I haven't actually mentioned yet, and this sort of includes the costuming, is the dragon. So the dragon is kind of split into like three diva-y type women who sing a song as the dragon while there's a huge puppet in the background. And they're in these really nice red sparkly gowns and headpieces. I think it's a really cool way to do the dragon, because I think that's a challenge to have a life-size dragon. So they did a really good job of, you know, just having turning it into a song with three ladies. There's a revolving stage, which they use pretty well. I spoke about this in the Hamilton review. Hamilton is one of the only productions I've seen where I think the revolving stage feels like it's necessary, but it doesn't distract too much. You know, I'm not going to complain about it. Yeah, there's some fantastic songs. They're all amazing. And I'm a Believer in at the end, which obviously everyone will know from Shrek if you've seen the original film, is kind of the end, almost the credits music, I think. It's just before the credits. So it's cool to have that in there. I want to talk a bit about the show, right? I've heard some mixed things about people seeing the show, and I can understand it being tacky and maybe seeming a bit cheap. Not necessarily low budget, but cheap as in like a money grab. But if this show comes back, I've got to say, you should go and see it. It's so much fun. I think they did a really great job of honoring the story and adding some new stuff. And I've heard some comments about it being on the West End not being as good. I haven't seen it on the West End, so I can't vouch for that. I could understand it maybe feeling like that compared to Broadway, because I think Broadway have more money and bigger venues and stages. But the tour that I saw in the Mayflower, Southampton, was really, really great. So I think if that's anything to go by, go and see this show. Yeah, so out of 5 stars, how many am I going to give it? I'm going to give Shrek 3.5 stars, I think. It's never going to push 5, but it's fun. And sometimes musicals and films don't need to be clever and, you know, pushing for awards, although I think it might have been nominated for some awards, actually. But sometimes you just need a bit of fun. So, yeah, if you like this film, this musical, then I would say go and check out just any of the DreamWorks films from sort of around the early 2000s. Also, maybe SpongeBob the Musical, if you can find that anywhere. It's not on any streaming sites at the moment. Yeah, join us next week, and I'm going to be talking about the mammoth Les Miserables. Thanks. Bye.
Awesome. Thank you, Tom. Very good. Very good. Very good. Okay, so this episode, I just want to round off with what I was talking about last episode. So easy fundraising. If you are not on it, please get on it. It can really help your society. We used to use it for the society that we were in, and it made not a big impact, but it still made an impact for people doing the normal shopping that they would do online.
I mean, it costs you nothing and you get something from it, whether it's one penny or a pound or £100. Like, you don't know how far it will go.
Yeah.
It makes a difference for no effort at all. And say your society has 50 members and each of them have a parent each, or friends or siblings. If they then spread it to their, like, inner circle, say that's 10 people per each person in the society, that's 500 people using it.
And say they all use it and they create a pound for you, that's £500. That's like,
that's a lot of money in amateur theatre.
It is, yeah. That's like half of some society's budgets.
Absolutely.
That's the crazy thing about it. So definitely do get on it. It's really, really easy. It's really, really simple. And when you're on it, make sure you use it. Remember to use it. I know that's the tricky part. And also tell other people about it. And then you can start making some extra money for your society, because it's tricky at the minute, but everyone's at home ordering stuff to their house. So it seems like the ideal time to be using it. And then that money will just be stored there, ready for when you want to use it.
And at the moment, you might be readying yourself to get back into your rehearsal rooms, stages, wherever you are planning to be. Now is the ideal time to start thinking about fundraising and what you will then use with that fundraising money. If I find that if you give people an incentive to say, we are fundraising for this costume or this specific piece of set that we will use in every single show, it gives them more incentive to actually help you fundraise. So
yeah,
now is the time, because it's coming back.
this theatre is coming home. Wonderful. Thank you very much for listening to us. Thank you to everyone that is still supporting us along the way. Had a lovely message from someone the other day who is enjoying the show in all its formats that it is taking over the time that we started. So thank you for your support. It is lovely to hear from you. Please do reach out to us. We love reading your messages. It's all an act at outlook.com. You can email us or on our socials. Thank you very much for listening. Thank you, Lucy.
Thank you, Jazz.
Thank you, Tom.
Thank you, Teletubbies.
Nice.
That's like where it. My love of performing started, I think.
What, with Teletubbies?
Yeah. Bold statement to finish on there.
Wow.
You're welcome.
Thanks for listening.
Bye.
At podcast.
Thank you, Teletubbies.